You're now listening to Pastor Anthony Lopez with World Renegade Church.
This time of fasting, man, forget it, bro. Forget it, girls. It's been on another level, man. Like Pastor Edgel says, it does something in you. And as he was sharing that your prayer kind of skyrockets, I was like, amen, because some of that is in here tonight. It's true. It's just what happens. I don't know how it works. I don't understand how that works with the Holy Spirit. It's not written out piece by piece. We don't understand the logistics. But hey, we don't fully understand the things of God fully. Like, he's so beyond what we could even imagine. We can't even get heaven, right? It's just how it is. And let's just thank him that, hey, when we fast, he says he will exalt us. When we fast, he lifts up his bride, the church. He does things in our hearts, in our lives. This has been a time for myself, and I pray and I hope for you guys as well, where you were continually seeking God, continually getting in prayer, man, that his spirit was drawing you near and you were responding. And you were understanding that. I want to start off tonight with these verses here. Check this out. If you have your Bible apps, you could turn to Joel chapter 2, verse 12. This is a prophet of the Lord, Joel. And this is what God says in Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. And then the next part says, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Now in that context, of course, that was to the people of God because they're sinning and weeping and having that heart change. But even in the sense of what God is saying here, he says, return to me with all your heart, with fasting. I believe us here in this room, if our hearts were not in tune with God, like fully engaged in that sense of all your heart, everything in us. So David says, I humbled my soul with fasting. David says that when we fast before God, this is all of our hearts. Can you guys say that? It's with all my heart.
It's with all my heart.
Now I want to read another verse. You don't have to turn here. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, this is what the Lord says. You will seek me. And you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see what he said? He said, you are going to seek me. This is a guarantee. Everything that we've been praying for, church, all the points of our vision, all the points of prayer as a church, and us seeking God in that, and giving all of our heart with that, and in the sense of fasting, God sees that. It doesn't go unnoticed. It doesn't go unnoticed by God. And I'm so thankful that it doesn't go unnoticed. And I'm even more thankful that God is a father who gives to his children. I was reading a devotional earlier, and it was by Pastor James McDonald. And it just put in my mind again that Jesus intercedes for us at the right hand of God the Father. He's praying for us, and we're praying to him, and he's praying for us because he knows what we need, the Bible says, right? Yeah. Who better to have prayed for us? Jesus is doing that for us. Jesus knows what's in our future. God knows what's beyond the here and now of this church. I was talking to Pastor Adriel earlier, before we started service, and I was just sharing with him how even in my time of prayer, I was praying for the church, that us as members, that if you're a believer in Christ, wherever your church is, even if you're tuning in online, that our hearts have to understand, man, it's not just here and now. Yes, let's do it. Let's meet the need that has to be met, man. Let's sacrifice to God. But there's so much more, as Pastor Adriel was saying. Man, orphans, widows, a bigger studio than what we have, amen, a bigger media center, a bigger place where we can meet and more souls could come. A lot of people say it's not about numbers. I was thinking of this as I was praying, and then you see the Bible and it says 5,000 came to the Lord, 3,000 came to the Lord. Yes, it is about numbers. I'm going to say that. And why do we care so much about numbers? Man, how many? You want your life to be one that you want as many as you could to Christ, man. That God, I went and made disciples, as Pastor Adriel was saying. That I went and spoke the gospel to people unashamedly by the power of your spirit. Now, I don't want to go somewhere else, but can you guys say this with me? Every great work or move of God involved men and women who prayed and fasted.
Every great
work of God involved men and women who prayed and fasted. I'm talking every great work. And tonight I'm going to get into the Bible and even outside the scriptures. Oh, you're going outside the scriptures? That's wrong. No, we're living outside the scriptures here. We're not in the Bible, per se. I'm not in the... And Pastor Anthony, Pastor Adriel went down to Schaumburg, Illinois as they traveled 20... No, we're not in the Bible. This is all happening right now. You know what I mean? So we could go to stuff like that for proof of God's work. Amen? So I want to put the first person on play to bat. His name was King Jehoshaphat. Dang, that... Didn't mean to rhyme that was funny. So King Jehoshaphat is coming to bat. And I don't want you to turn there. Just hear me out here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, and there are several other verses I'm going to go through. I want to read this to you guys. Listen to the word of God. As this After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with some of them, the Mennonites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazan Tamar, that is, and Jedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. This brother was afraid. There was three armies coming against him. He didn't have that many people to have this victory, to have this accomplished. So he's afraid. And what does he do, church? He fasts. What does he do? He turns his face to God. You see, us and everything in us, it's like at the end of the day, we have no one else to turn to but God if we are his child, if we trust that he's going to provide our every need. We have God to turn to. That's him. He pays attention to us. Verse 12, it says this, and this is Jehoshaphat, what he says. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. For us, we might be saying something different. We don't know how fully everything's going to happen, how this is going to get paid, but we're setting our eyes on you and we're engaging our faith. Check this out. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord. Everyone is coming before God, just as we have as a church, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he said, listen, all Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord. Just as Pastor Andrew received a word from God, the Lord begins to speak in times of fasting. Again, I don't know fully why, how that works, but it happens. It says it in scripture. So thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So it turns back to God. Verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. So you have someone, King Jehoshaphat here, who at first was in fear, didn't know what to do. So his spirit man is like, turn to God, he'll hear you out. Proclaim a fast throughout the nation, and all the people come and they fast before God. And they seek God, and God responds, and God knocks out the enemies, and God gives them what they really didn't expect. So much more that it took 3 days. Can you say God provided?
God provided.
Now, we're going to move on to another person who's coming up to bat, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4, if you could want to turn there, go ahead, feel free to do so. And this is what it says, Nehemiah speaking. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You see, Nehemiah's dilemma was what? That Jerusalem, the place where God's people met, was destroyed, the walls were torn down. And he, by hearing God and understanding the truth of God, went and did the work of God. And didn't just go and do it, but he did what, church? Pray. Can you say pray?
Prayed.
And he fasted. And God responded. Nehemiah had a work to do, and he knew that it wasn't going to get done just on his own natural strength. This church, World Renegade Church, whatever church you're a part of, you have a work to do individually and corporately. We have a work to do. That only God, when we humble ourselves before God, it's going to really pop off, I guess you could put it that way. It's going to really skyrocket, as Pastor Israel's been saying. We are so used to being a people, and a time of fasting allows us to examine this, really, that we do have idols. I was telling Pastor Angel this earlier. We have idols, whether it's the social media, whether it's the food, whatever that idol is in your life. Fasting allows you to what? Kind of discern. It's a radar. You begin to see in your life, that's an idol in your life. God begins to reveal that, right? There's things that otherwise, if we didn't fast, would be blocking us from getting into the intimacy with God. And so us, what God does through fasting is he allows us to discern the idols and toss them to the side and do away with them. Even the sins in your life, whatever it is you're going through, the besetting sins, the secret sins that David says to pray to expose. In times of fasting, that happens, that gets exposed. What the point here is that God sees us. God sees the work that we have to do. And God responds to Nehemiah in that time and even Jehoshaphat in his time. Now I want to share with you guys an example here. Of a here and now. Bill Bright of Campus Crusades for Christ said this, and I quote, fasting and prayer is the atomic bomb or the hydrogen bomb of all Christian disciples. Mr. Bright said in a recent interview, prayer has great power. We all know that, right? Prayer is awesome, man. We spend time in prayer before the service. It's just what we do. Jesus prayed. Jesus went to the mountains to pray. But check this out. But fasting with prayer has infinitely more power. And it's just something that you come to know. You come to know, as Pastor Angel's been explaining, like you know that when you're going before God, a breakthrough is going to happen. Something huge is going to happen. Why? Because we're acknowledging that, really, man, I'm just a skinny Puerto Rican guy, or whoever you are, wherever you came from, you know what I mean? Whatever your case is, I'm just me, and you're God. You come to that place of acknowledging, okay, I'm me, and I want to be used by you, God, so now I have to do what? I have to get to know you, God, because John 15 says that we could do nothing apart from him. And that applies to here, now, right now, what we're trying to do, the vision that we're trying to work through by the power of God. Notice the power of God, not by our power. And so we know that we can do nothing without Jesus Christ. And we know that we want to do everything for Jesus Christ. So we do what? In the time of fasting, and I pray even apart from that, we abide in him, the Bible says. And he abides in us. And what begins to happen in our lives is we begin to bear much fruit and so prove to be his disciples. So there's proof. I don't need proof that I'm a disciple of Christ. I said the prayer. No, there has to be proof in your life that you're a disciple of Christ. There has to be the times of abiding. So much times we could be abiding on Facebook. We could be abiding with our Instagram. We could be abiding in our food. We could be so apart from God, so not in tune, so not going before his throne of grace. And it's like, what? When I think of it, again, the high priest, they used to be the only ones who could go to the presence of God. And then King David, how he says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And him saying that in that time, there was a place, a temple of God, where really, I guess, this was the courts of God, and I'm going to be here. Check it out, church. Us here now, there is no court per se. I love that we meet here on Saturdays. It excites me. I get joyful, full of joy that we're here. But every day we could get in those courts with God, church.
Yes.
Every time when we're fasting, we could get in those courts with God and be filled with joy. Every day now, we could pray before God without ceasing. There's no time limit. You know what I mean? If you don't know what to pray, open up your Bible. Pray the scriptures. It'll be going on forever.
Come on.
Pray the scriptures. You're not doing nothing wrong with that. Pray the promises of God in your life.
That's right.
But I want to continue in that sense, saying the atomic bomb. Think of that. Think of our prayer without fasting. Okay, that's cool. A little firework, I guess. Maybe if you're not praying too good, it's a dud. Dang, what the? Oh, I did only pray 2 minutes. And then think when you're fasting before God. Again, that act of humbling. What's that firework called? The M80? The M80? M8? We're throwing the M80s out. We're not even lighting it with a regular lighter. We got the fire extinguisher. That thing is getting lit up. And in the sense of that prayer, man, it's something's happening in the spiritual realm. Something is igniting. Something's going to happen, explode. Yeah. It's just what's going to happen. Jesus will do things. God will do things that he never sought to do. So can y'all say that M8 is going to go kaboom? Go ahead. Someone could tweet that. Whatever. That's pretty cool. Now I want to get into the New Testament. Can you guys turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3? Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. And this is what the word of God says. Now there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Check this out, verse 3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Now this has a lot in this one verse. First off, this church is brand spanking new. Can you guys say that? Brand spanking new.
Brand spanking new.
Antioch. Can y'all say this? We're brand spanking new. Chicago, World Renegade Church, we're in the same shoes as these brothers here. How so? We're coming before the Lord, verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, and I'll check out what happens, the Holy Spirit said, in that time of worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us more clearly. and we get direction of what we have to do. The Holy Spirit said, apart from me, Barnabas and Saul, who was also Paul, for the work to which I have called them. Then after, so they're still praying and fasting, even though they received that word from the Holy Spirit. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. In that sense, we don't have specific people we're trying to send off here, but we do want works that we have to do to go forth and be happening and happen well and happen with us knowing that we're discerning God's voice and we're humbled before God and I want to hear you, God. I want to get clarity from you, God. And in our lives, we need times of clarity from God. I'm no genius that knows every next step, you know what I mean? I'm sure Pastor Angel doesn't know every next step, but he has to have that time where he goes before God and prays for direction. You guys here, members of the church, aspiring, who knows, to be elders, probably God has it in your life, deacons, whatever God would have in your life, I advise you now to come before God. Pray that he shows you his plans. Pray that the gifts in you begin to be shown. And me and Pastor Andrew and Vanessa and the leadership can see that and acknowledge that. So we can send others off, as Pastor Andrew was saying, to Boston, to Florida, to wherever else God would have us go within the next 40 years of our life here. But check it out. They sought God for their next step, church. The church in Acts, Paul, an apostle, sought God. He sought God for his next step. The early church sought God for their next step. And their hunger for God led them. And it was far greater than their hunger for food. Can we say that? Their hunger for God led them. And it was far greater than their hunger for food. So y'all, I know no one in here is hungry after hearing this. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 14. Going to go throughout the New Testament, Acts chapter 14, verse 21 through 23. When you have it, say amen. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 says this. When they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, say they're putting in work. Amen, Peter. With prayer and fasting, can we say with prayer and fasting?
With prayer and fasting.
They committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Church, man, if this has been kind of crazy for you, a new experience, I just got to say get used to fasting. And it should be something you're already used to. And it should be something that's a natural part of your life if you're a believer in Christ, right? We have to get used to fasting. Why? Because God moves supernaturally when we let go of the natural things. God moves supernaturally when we let go of the natural things. This fast, I believe, has strengthened all of our souls. It has strengthened something in me, more of an eagerness, more of a, okay, I got my eyes set more clearly, right? Before this, I believe it was kind of fogged. There wasn't as much direction. But this is why we seek God. This is why we fast, to get clarity, to get vision, to get direction from God. And he shows us. You guys are seeing through the word, right? The Holy Spirit said this. And then God came with King Jehoshaphat along his side and won the war. And Nehemiah knew what to do when he went before the king. And God provided everything he needed to do the work of God. So it's shown throughout the scriptures. Now I want to show you guys examples outside of the Bible of men and women who prayed and fasted. David Brainerd, awesome man of God, passed away. It was way back in the day. David Brainerd prayed with fasting for the Lord's leadership regarding his entry into ministry. It's a big deal when you're going to do a work of God and entering into ministry. On Monday, April 19th, 1972, he recorded in his journal, "I set apart this day for fasting and prayer to God for his grace, especially to prepare me for the work of the ministry, to give me divine aid and direction in my preparation for that great work, and in his own time, to send me into the harvest." He said of his experience that day, check this out, church. "I felt the Lord, the power of intercession for precious immortal souls, for the advancement of the kingdom of my dear Lord and Savior in this world. And withal, a most sweet resignation, and even consolation and joy in the thoughts of suffering hardships and distresses, and even death itself, and the promotion of it. My soul was drawn out very much for the world, for the multitude of souls. I think I had more enlargement for sinners than for the children of God. He's being real. Though I felt as if I could spend my life in cries for both, I enjoyed great sweetness and communion with my dear Savior. I think I never in my life felt such an entire weaniness from this world and so much resigned to God and everything. You see what happened there, church? Before David Brainerd went into ministry to further on in the work of God that he had to come into a moment of prayer and fasting. Now, though this is our last day, we're going to hammer this topic. We're going to get this in our hearts of what prayer and fasting does. He says this, that his soul began to have more longings for the lost, right? In other words, he became what? More Christ-like. The Great Commission became what? More clear to him. Not that it wasn't before, but now he's like, okay, I'm abiding in you and you're abiding in me. When that happens, you have no options but to come out more Christ-like and be so clear in your thinking and what you got to do, knowing that this life is temporary. Knowing that everything in us, one day it's going to be judged before God. Every work will be tested by fire. Everything we do, church. Everything, this children's room, the children that grow up. And I think as I kind of grew up in the church, not fully, but I did in a sense, they're going to come to know God. It's this big deal. They're going to experience God at a young age. That was dope for me. I didn't grow up in the church, but I knew God by age 7. And it was awesome. And I prayed to God at age 7. This is a side note. And I prayed that my parents would stop smoking. And God heard me and they stopped smoking. Wow. And Christmas Eve, they told me we're going to stop smoking. Wow. God hears the little kids. I'm so excited for that. We'll get away from that, though, for right now. But look at what happened with David Brainerd, church. These longings begin to come to surface. The Holy Spirit in him, the desires of the Spirit became more clear. Like the Bible says, when you set your mind on the flesh, that's death. If we're setting our minds on the flesh, then the things of the Spirit ain't clear, church. I want to encourage you, if you've been set on the flesh or the things of the flesh or strongholds in your life, man, do away with that. Do away with that. Get intimate with God. Seek Jesus Christ. Seek his kingdom. Your life is so much more than just your little dumb passions of the flesh that wage war. Let's continue on. Promise keepers. Can you guys say promise keepers? Now check it out. Promise keepers today is 280,000 men. Can you guys see 280,000? They gather to worship God. Salvation happens with promise keepers. They go and do crusades. Guest speakers come in. They go around the world. And people receive Christ. And men who were lost in their sin come to newness of life through Jesus Christ. And this is what it says here in this article. Promise keepers was born in the atmosphere of fasting. In the fall publication of Men of Action, it says this. In 1990, Coach McCartney asked 72 men to commit to pray and fast through lunch every Wednesday, praying specifically that Almighty God would stir the hearts of men to pursue Jesus Christ. Notice they're praying for specific things. Notice there's only 72 men, which is still a lot. But at this point, I'm sure they thought it was small. Check it out. The board, leadership team, and many of the staff have recommitted themselves to this. So at that time, they were praying for a specific purpose, church. Through our points of prayer, we've been praying for specific things, church. And God sees that. And you see what happened here? 280,000 men now. This thing is huge. But it started with 72. Wow. I don't know how many are in here today, but I know there's few. But it starts with us, and then I believe an atmosphere where even a leadership, we get into, if we have to a certain day where we fast before God, you in your own private time, one day fast before God. You did 21, you could do one a week. But then we get into the habit, man. It's a spiritual discipline.
Yes, amen.
God did great things. I want to continue on. When we fast, we're denying our bodies the most natural thing, right? What is the most natural thing? If we don't eat it, we die. Come on.
Food.
We need food, we need water, right? That's just natural. But when we do that, when we deny our bodies the most natural thing, God does a supernatural thing. Can you say it? When we deny the most natural thing?
When we deny the most natural thing.
God does a supernatural thing.
God does a supernatural thing.
Man, we have to believe that, church. We can't just say it, we can't just repeat it because I asked you guys, but believe it by faith. That God's going to do supernatural things to our church. I want to read this as well, another article. A woman of God who feared the Lord. Miss Krieger, a Birmingham church worker, says she believes that the nation needs revival because, quote, We buy too many things. We eat too much. People drink too much as a substitute for relationship with God. Out at restaurants, Ms. Krieger said, I have sat down and watched people eat and thought to myself, I wish we devoured God like we devour our food. Man, church, that this becomes a reality. Outside of this 21 days, I want to encourage you, church, men and women, go and fast before God. This doesn't mean this is stopped. I push you to go and fast before God outside of this. Whatever it is in your lives, man. Whether you're single like me and looking for a spouse, fast for that. Whether you want to be in the ministry of the work of God and you want to fast for that. Whether you want to walk better with Christ and you want to let go of those sins that so easily entangle, man, fasting will take care of that. Fasting will take care of that. There's no sin too powerful that the hand of God can't overcome. There's no work that we're trying to do here that God will not fulfill and make happen. Nothing is too big for God. If it seems impossible for us, you better believe it's possible with God. He just does the impossible. That's the God we serve. The God who formed the universe. The God who knew you before you were in your mother's womb. The God who called you for good works beforehand. Yes. The God who called this church to be here. You at your home. For you to know God. For you to receive salvation. For you to be part of your church. He's called you in all those things. He's put you in his hands. The Bible says nothing can take us out of his hands. That God is going to be with us. That God got our back. That God got our back, man. If we're being his disciples faithfully. If we're seeking the Lord. If we're turning our hearts to God. Something amazing happens, church. Something supernatural happens. I'm not here to just be a natural man. We're not here to just seem natural. No, the supernatural is real. God called each and every one of us here. There's so many things in the vision of our church that I know are going to happen. And sometimes I wonder if people think I'm a madman, but who cares what people think, right? I know a God who makes things happen. We've seen it all in Scripture. He made things happen for Jehoshaphat. Can you say that? He made it happen. For Nehemiah, he made it happen. Continue to repeat that. All right. For Paul and Saul, he made it happen. For the church to further in Acts, he made it happen. For David Brainerd to go into ministry and continue the work of God in his life, he made it happen. For Promise Keepers, he made it happen when it started off. Come on, say that.
He made it happen.
When it was just those 72 men, they understood, okay, I'm going to come before God because God's going to do what? He's going to make it happen. Yes, we're here. Yes, we don't have the rent for the next room, man, but I think beyond the next room, beyond what's going on here, thank God. Yes, we have to be exhorted, as Pastor Angel said. Yes, he has to tell you what's up, man.
We
don't have rent for any room. Real talk, man. But listen, we know this, and if God's going to make it happen, he doesn't just make it happen just to make it happen, church. Every one of you in this room is part of that making it happen. Can you say, I'm part of the making it happen?
I'm part of the making it happen.
It's just what it is, man. I want to see this church get out of this room. You online, I want to see that you're not seeing us in this room a couple months from now. I want to see. And we're going to see, amen? We're going to see other world renegade churches open. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and not yet seen. But me, man, in my heart, I'm seeing it already. So I guess that's a little in my faith. I don't know. That means that it's a little bigger, I guess. For you online wondering what I just said, I didn't speak in tongues. But man, but we have to have that faith. We have to have that humbling. It has to be key in our lives, church. And just because this 21 days is over, and yes, we're going to break the fast together and eat some amazing fruit salad, thanks to Marie.
Oh, come on. Woo! Come on.
I can't wait. But church, continue to fast. Continue to seek God. If you're online, continue to go after God. Yes. If there's things holding you back in your relationship, fast. If there's big moves you want to happen in your life, fast. If you want to stop being slow in your growth in Christ, fast. Wordplay. Slow, fast. Speed. Fast. Let's continue this, church. I don't want us to stop this. I want us to end this. You know what? God has been doing amazing things. As Pastor Angel said, God spoke to him. God's going to continue to speak to us. God's going to speak to us in our quiet time with him. We get in his word, he talks. We get in prayer, he talks. We get to him his promises. The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. He's going to fulfill them for his church, for his bride. And I thank God for that. I thank God that he fulfills his promises. I thank God that we have a father we could turn to. And he's not like our natural father. When you're a kid and you go to the store and you ask him for something, no, hijo. No puedo tener eso. Or if you're English talking that, sorry, son, you just can't have that. You haven't been listening to me. You've been a bad kid. That's not how God is. Yes, we might mess up in our times with God. Repent. Turn away from whatever that is. And you're his child, man. He doesn't give you things because you deserve it. We didn't deserve salvation and he gave it to us. I don't deserve to be on this mic, and I never thought I would do this. God saw that he wanted to use me that way. And hey, I'm here, and I'm thankful. I did not think Sway, who was making crazy music, would be a disciple of Christ, loving Jesus, changed by God. I didn't think Peter, who used to come to the studio with his tattoos, with his friend, doing crazy music, be here loving Jesus Christ. Daniel Dame, who got saved outside of a street on Fullerton in the hood, loving Jesus. Alonzo, loving Jesus, the guy who was skeptic, putting so much things online. The zeitgeist and whatever crazy stuff he would put. Now knowing the truth of Jesus. But church, and viewers online, this is the point. Jesus has called us, man. Let's respond to the call. Let's learn what it is to fast. Let's learn what it is to get along with God. And this is one thing that I asked myself in my time of prayer. It's like, okay, why do you work, God, when we fast? I still fully don't understand. Why is it such a power? I know there is a power to it. And in a simple sense, he was like, man, this shows Christ-likeness. Christ humbled himself. How much more like Christ can we be when we humble ourselves before God?
Amen.
There's no other... You can't get any closer to that, basically, to being like Christ if you're not humbling yourself. If you're prideful, you're 100% como el diablo, like Satan. It's just what it is, right? Pride got him kicked out of heaven. And if you're humbling yourself before God and fasting, this is why God moves so big. We're just a picture of his son to him. It brings joy to his heart. When he sees us, mere, you know, human beings, made of dust, he sees us fast and humble ourselves. And know, okay, God, I'm giving this up, man. I'm giving this up. And even if at the time it seems like something that's important to you, no, Jesus, you're so much more important, Jesus. This has to be our heart. No, Jesus, you're so much more worth it, God. If you're saying you want to do things for God and make a difference and make an impact, you have to show that to God. No, you're so much more, God. And I want to show you with my heart. I want to humble my soul. And that's just how it has to be, church. When we do that, we show an image of Christ-likeness like no other in humbling our souls.